My son Andrew just had his 50th birthday. I can hardly believe it. Where is the time gone? I remember him when he was just getting ready to enter kindergarten. It was in Piedmont Elementary School in Charleston, and in those days, kids were required to come several weeks early in order to register and meet their teacher and become familiar with their classroom. We arrived at Piedmont and waited, lined up in the hallway with the parents and other kids who would soon be entering kindergarten. We all actually sat on the floor in the hallway with our backs to the wall as we waited. Andrew turned to me and he said, "When the teacher comes in, tell her I'm nervous." I said, "Andrew, she doesn't need to know that. Everybody's a little bit nervous today." And he said, "No, no, tell her that Andrew is nervous." And he repeated that request several times. And when the teacher and her assistant finally came through the hall, he desperately tugged at my sleeve and said, "Tell her now, tell her now." So I looked up and I said, "Excuse me, but Andrew would like you to know that he is nervous." Well, she looked down at Andrew seated on the floor, and she said to me, "Tell Andrew that I am nervous too." Waiting can make us nervous, uneasy, uncertain, especially when we don't know exactly what's coming next. We don't know what's coming next, and even if there is purpose in our waiting, we sometimes feel uneasy. The last thing Jesus said to his disciples before the ascension, which we looked at last week, that they were to wait. They were to wait in Jerusalem. However, their waiting had a critical purpose. They were to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And when that happened, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in all the world. That's in Acts 1, verse 4 to 7. And so they waited. And so we come once again to the day of Pentecost and the church year, the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus. And this is a significant day in the church calendar because it's the birthday of the church. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Acts. And all the book of Acts is most generally just called Acts or Acts of the Apostles. It might more appropriately be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit that empowered the followers of Jesus to do the amazing things that they are going to do. Now listen to Acts 2, verse 1 to 13. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, in Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes and Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.' And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mockingly said, 'These men are full of new wine.' This is the word of the Lord. We heard last week how Jesus gave final instructions to his followers before ascending into heaven. Go into all the world and make disciples and baptize and teach. How could a small group of uneducated men and women who had few resources, how could they possibly have any impact on the world? There's only one way. God would have to be working through them. And that's why it was important for them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. They would only be successful in being his witnesses if the Spirit was with them and was working through them. And thus, in Acts 2, we discover what our Lord Jesus was talking about. The Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus with power. This happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the Greek name for the Jewish festival of weeks, and it occurs 50 days after Passover. But the story, Jesus' followers, the story says there were more than the 11 disciples. Acts 1 verse 15 says that there were 120 of them, and including Mary and other women. They were waiting all together in one place as instructed by Jesus. And this singular act of obedience, waiting and praying, this would change their lives forever. Have you ever felt tired and listless and without energy? I'm talking about being tired and without energy when you haven't even done anything that would be physical enough to be tired. You're just tired. It must be widely experienced, because I noticed that many of the magazines at the checkout of the grocery store promise to have solutions to our lack of energy. I get flyers in the mail trying to sell me something, as if they know that I wish to have more energy in my life. I've been reading recently that one manifestation of our low national energy is the rising demand for coffee. I have a friend who has moved away now, but when he lived here for his birthday 1 year, I gave him a coffee mug that said, "No talkie before coffee." He actually had a table at Starbucks, and he would go up there with his laptop, and he would work, and he would drink coffee most of the day. But he's not alone. The United States seems to run on caffeine. One estimate is that 90% of adults consume it in some form every day. And it's not just coffee. The demand for caffeine as an energy boost is so strong that caffeine can now be found in all kinds of items beyond coffee and energy drinks. For example, it can now be found in marshmallows. Yes, marshmallows! You can now obtain a mail order marshmallows loaded with caffeine. A box of 24 used to cost $20. It probably costs more now. But each piece contains as much caffeine as a half cup of coffee, without the aftertaste that coffee can sometimes give you. Or, if that doesn't appeal to you, you can order beef jerky that's infused with caffeine. It's called Perky Jerky. And if you're off beef, then you can order Turkey Perky Jerky. I am not making this up. Or how about biofuel caffeinated popcorn with a caffeine-laced caramel coating? One bag provides as much stimulation as 3 cups of coffee. There's caffeine for every taste. It appears that we need energy to keep up with the demands of our busy lives. Can you imagine after Jesus' crucifixion that his disciples would have had their energy level just drop and their enthusiasm just go off the cliff? That would be a normal reaction to the disappointment that they had experienced. And then they discovered that he had risen from the dead. And this would certainly lift their spirits, but for how long would that last? Would it carry them through the persecutions and difficulties that they are now going to endure now that he's no longer with them? You know the answer to that as well as I do. They were human beings, just like you and I are human beings, and they would be facing the might of the Roman Empire as well as opposition from their own religious establishment. How could they possibly find the power to endure, much less be victorious? Obviously, the task was impossible if they attempted to do it under their own power. And that is why the day of Pentecost is such an important day in our church calendar. Pentecost is a celebration of the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the first century believers and transformed them into the church and gave them the power that they needed to turn the world as they knew it upside down. And we need to pray that that same thing will happen to us if we're going to turn our world upside down or maybe right side up. You may know the story well. On the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And suddenly they were aware of something like tongues of fire resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Now, here's what's important to remember. Pentecost was an annual Jewish festival that took place 50 days after Pentecost. Jews who lived within a 20-mile radius of Jerusalem were required to go back to the Holy Spirit in order to have this religious observation. And there were thousands more from neighboring countries that flocked to Jerusalem for this occasion. The city would be packed with people for the festival. Jerusalem was filled with devout people from many nations. And when they heard the followers of Jesus sharing their testimony, each of the foreigners heard them tell about the great acts of God in their own language. They were amazed. They knew that those who were doing the testifying were unsophisticated, uneducated Galileans, and they asked, "How can this be?" People from different nations heard the followers of Jesus in their own tongue. We need to be clear about one thing. Jesus' followers were not speaking in the unknown tongues, which are called glossolalia, but just the opposite. They were speaking in the exact tongues of the people who were listening. The communication was not restricted to a few. It was open to as many people as possible. Now, this is important because so often Christians speak in code. If you're not part of the group, you may have trouble understanding what's being said. You hear the words, but they aren't words that you can relate to. And pastors are especially guilty of this. When you are communicating in another language, you must be very precise. And even in our own language, the better we communicate, the more effective we will be. Many years ago, broadcaster Mort Krim and his producer were taping a documentary in Cairo, Egypt. Their visit came not long after Egypt's president, Anwar Sadat, had been assassinated. And they had hoped to include in the documentary an interview with Sadat's widow. The producer made a routine phone call back to his station in the United States. He said that he thought they had a good shot at Mrs. Sadat tomorrow. Within minutes, the Egyptian police were at their door. Evidently, the phones were tapped by the Egyptian security forces, and the Egyptians, unfamiliar with American slang, had been alarmed by the comment that they had a good shot at Mrs. Sadat. Mort Krim and his producer had some fast explaining to do in order to keep from being carted off to jail. You never know who might be listening to your words or to your life. Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once said that you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. You may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to meet the challenges of our time, just as the first century church needed the power of the Holy Spirit to meet the challenges of its time. I wonder what would happen if we conscientiously decided to spend time waiting and praying as those early followers of Jesus did, praying that God Himself would intervene into our lives and into the life of our church, praying that we too might receive the precious, transforming gift of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what would happen if each day we ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in our church and in our individual lives. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that look like? Some Christians think that to be filled with the Spirit is only authentic if it's manifest in dramatic, highly visible ways. I agree that's one way, but it's not the only way. Galatians 5 says, "The fruits of the Spirit, qualities which testify to the work of Spirit in our lives, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness." If you manifest these gifts, even sometimes, it's the Holy Spirit at work within you. In Romans and Corinthians, the list is expanded to include prophecy, teaching, healing, helping, service, and giving. Do you recognize any of these in yourself or in other persons? And there are other ways that the Holy Spirit is manifest in our lives each day. For example, have you ever done something for which you have neither the strength or the energy or the ability to do? Is there something within you that enabled you to rise to the occasion and to do what was needed? Where did that come from? Has anyone ever said to you, "You said just what I needed to hear and I have always remembered it"? Or, "Your note arrived and I have reread it many times"? Or, "Your phone call meant the world to me when I needed it the most"? And for everyone who tells you, about this, there are others whose lives you have touched and they may not report it to you. Where do those nudges come from? Not from me, but through me. Not from you, but through you. The work of the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, let's also wait and pray and be open to the winds of the Spirit and to the renewing and refining fire of the Holy Spirit. Are you praying for the gift of the Spirit for yourself and for our church? It might be easier to get energized from a box of caffeine-laced marshmallows or beef jerky or popcorn, but you are being called to make a difference in the world. You are being called to make a difference in the world. Wait and pray that God will breathe new life into each of us today. And if we are not attempting something that we could not possibly do without God's help, our aim may be too low. I like the story of two caterpillars who are crawling along the ground, and they look up and they see a beautiful butterfly flitting around, and one caterpillar turns to the other and says, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." God wants us to live born on the wings of the Spirit. God is up to something right now. God is up to something right now. There are miracles that God wants us to be a part of. There are scars that He wants to remove. There are ministries that He wants us to discover. There are fractured relationships that He wants to reconcile. The question is, do we have enough faith to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of our world? Pentecost is a celebration of God's power at work in our world, in spite of what it sometimes seems like. We have a lot more potential than we have used. God is not finished with us, and it is not too late. The fire of God is still available to us if we will look for it, if we are open to it. And so may it be. O Holy Spirit, come among us as the fire and wind at Pentecost. We want to be open to you. We want to be directed and energized by you, but sometimes we just don't know how. Take us in hand, Holy Spirit. Remold and remake us until we are like our Lord Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.